Amen. Thank you, Brother Seth. Appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. My prayer for this service is, as it is in any service, that we stand before the Lord's people. We've shared this with you several times before, but just to get it in our minds. In the fourth chapter of Colossians, Paul says in the 4 and 2, the second verse, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all, or that means together with, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So we do beg that the Lord in His mercy, certainly we don't deserve it, I don't deserve it, but that the Lord would see fit to open unto us a door of utterance, that we might speak the mystery of Christ. Last time we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, I had in my mind to go over a particular psalm, which is the 27th. And Brother Seth went first and covered a lot of the things that I was hoping to cover in that 27th psalm. So changed my plans in that I still talked about the 27th psalms, but to be honest with you, I don't really remember exactly what I said about it. But I didn't cover the things I wanted to, so that was fine. That was fine. This 27th Psalms is very special to a lot of people. I was in conversation not too long ago with a person that I love and respect so much. And the person said to me, Brother Sonny, there's a lot of scripture, a lot of teaching in all those scriptures. But I don't think there's a better place to go than the 27th Psalm as a, and I don't remember the word she says, blueprint's not the right word, but as a teaching of how to live our lives. And as I have continued to study it, I'm about ready to agree with that person. There's so much contained in here that it's hard for me to even get through what I would like to try to say about it, because I get lost in the process. But I'd like to try, if the Lord give us grace. I can't think of a more important subject that we could try to talk on than this 27th Psalms. Now, having set it up like that, I sure hope the Lord blesses us to share the things that we have seen in it and will bless us in it. I think the first six verses is about the confidence, the assurance that we should have and do have in God and in our Savior. The next six verses, which is 7 through 12, is a petition of David. And then I think the last two verses is kind of a summary of it all. Now, notice, if you would, that David doesn't begin with his petition. If you look at the seventh verse, 27 and 7, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. That's the beginning of his actual petition at that time. But he doesn't begin with that. Rather, he begins with God. He begins with what God has done for him. He begins with his adoration, his love, recognizing the power of God and the strength of God. At the top of my Bible, it says, David sustains faith in God by communion. I think that's pretty good. By communion. It's not talking about that ordinance we have. It's talking about us communing with our Lord on a regular basis. That's why I think this 27th Psalms is not a one-and-done thing. It's not a checklist item that we can say we've been through. Rather, it should be a habit that we understand the things here, and as much as possible, not to obviously repeat these words verbatim, but to understand what is going on with David, why he is saying what he's saying, and see if we can kind of order our thoughts that way before the Lord. Again, I've been guilty so much of the time when I pray to God immediately to go to my problem. And when I go to the problem, not only do I have the problem well defined, I have the solution well defined. And it's just like I just want to push the easy button and just push that button and let the Lord do the work. Well, my friends, that's not at all what David is doing. Not at all. Rather, listen as we begin reading in 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, he mentions fear and afraid in that first verse. Think Paul. You think David had things to be concerned about? Do you think he encountered items that he feared in a natural way? I can't imagine a boy going against a giant like he did. Poor example, but let me use it. Just entered my mind. One of the purposes of us being gone so long, this past 10 or 11 days, however many days it was we wanted to see my grandson Daniel play basketball. I hadn't seen him play this year. And he's in ninth grade, but he's playing for the seniors. He's playing for the senior team. As a freshman, he's not the only one. There's another person that's a freshman. Now, that's a very small school, okay? But anyway, they played twice, won one, lost one. Both teams were very good. The first team that they played, they had played them before, and they lost previously by over 30 points to that team. Well, they beat them this time. Second team that they played was altogether a different team, altogether a different situation. But in both those, especially on the, well, I guess the first one more, but in both those, there were times when that little freshman on the senior team looked pretty good. There was one time for about 3 minutes in the second game, he took over the whole game. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was just awestruck by it. But most of the time, it looked like a freshman playing on the senior team. The first game that he played, I saw him play on Thursday, he finally went to the coach, and he and the coach has a very good relationship, and they have this understanding. And he went to the coach, and I asked him what he's told him later, and he went to the coach, and he says, "Coach, you need to take me out. I just can't cover that man you want me to cover." And it was an obvious truth. You know what it was? Speed of the game. You're having a 12th player that's mature, getting ready to go into manhood and college and whatever might come, to not a boy, but closer to a boy than that. Well, how do you think a boy, I don't know how old David was, 12, 13, I don't know how old he was, facing this giant that everybody was afraid of? I'd say David knew a lot about fear. Well, he continues that to say, there's no reason to fear. There's no reason, because the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Next verse. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came on me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. I give a challenge to you. What event in his life is David referring to? You know, that happens so many times, it's hard to find just one. It could be several, and it could be neither one that I've thought of. One was a time in which David was running from Saul, because King Saul, because Saul sought his life. And David, I think, had three opportunities to take Saul's life, and he would not do it because God, through Samuel, had anointed Saul. Even though Saul had gotten crazy, gotten jealous, and in fact, the Lord even took the kingdom away from Saul and told Saul through Samuel that he's given it to David. Well, what do you think that caused Saul to do? He had all kinds of jealousy and so forth. David couldn't get away from Saul. He'd go one place, Saul follow him there, and so forth and so on. You know where he finally went to for shelter? The Philistines. The hated enemy of Israel. And the reason he went there is he said, even Saul won't follow me into this land. But to show how the Lord was with him and how this text was right, even in the land of the Philistines, my friend, the Lord was with him and blessed him. Won't go into all that. There's more to go, but that'd take me 15 minutes to go through it. But just, you can read about that in Samuel, 1 Samuel, whatever it is. You can find it. Second time I thought about is something a little bit more closer to David than Saul. You know where I'm going, don't you? David's own son, Absalom. Absalom. David and Absalom had had a difference between them. And finally, the captain brought a wise woman, told her what to do and how to dress and so forth. And she went unto Saul and petitioned David on behalf of Absalom. By and by, Absalom was brought to David. And for the first maybe 2 years or so, David said he could see, but I don't want to see his face. He can live here, but I don't want to see his face. And for around, I think, 2 years, that was the situation. But by and by, they reconciled. But guess what Absalom did? Not just, it seems like when I read it in the Bible, just almost immediately after they had reconciled to where he could appear before David and so forth. He would come to the gates of Jerusalem. And he would ask, as each one would come, who they were and where they were from. And why are you here? Well, it's always one of the tribes of Israel. And it was to come before King David that they might grieve their petition unto the Lord for need of help. You know what Absalom said? He says, well, you don't have anyone from the king down that will to plead your case. They won't hear you. But all if I was in charge, all if I had control, if I was the one in authority, then I would provide thee justice to whatever cause that was. You know what it says about Absalom? There was none in the land that was more handsome than Absalom. They said from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, there was not a blemish to be found. His hair was just tremendous, long. When he cut it, there was just pounds of it when he cut it once a year. The Bible says that through a period of time that Absalom won over the heart of Israel, the heart of Judah, the people. And when it was time in Absalom's mind, he said, I'll send word, and you come to where I am, and there I'll be king. And he set that up for a period of at least 2 years, if not longer. And it worked just like Absalom said, in a quick, hasty action. Absalom sought the throne of David. And David's reaction is, let's flee. Let's get out. We'll die here. Now, that was rectified. The Lord intervened again. End up with It's a lesson to us all. With all that wonderful, glorious hair that he had, he got caught in the branches of a tree, and he was hung in the mule, I think it was, he was riding, and he was just swinging there. And they told the captain, and he thrust three darts in him, and then the man killed him. So he died there in that last battle. It might not be either one of those times, but either one of those times would have been enough to just have you beyond yourself, beyond what you could do. But this is what he says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came, he's talking about something in the past, something that will come, something in the past, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Now the next verse, if that has happened in the past, look how he looks forward in the future. You know how to have so much confidence in the future? Is to have obvious evidence that God has blessed you in the past. Now he says, though a host should encamp against me, this talking in the future, my heart shall not what? Fear. Each verse he's talking about fear. The war should rise up against me. In this will I be confident. Oh, my friends. What a position to be in. If we're not there in that position, my friends, why not? In this will I be confident. What gave him that confidence? To be able to cry unto the Lord of his need? No. What gave him that confidence is rehearsing the matters in his history to say, obviously the Lord was that helped me. I could not be here if it was not for the Lord. I would have been destroyed years ago if it was not for the Lord and his watch care and his providence. But Greg began song service with two songs, my friend, that spoke to this very thing. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there, my friends. What confidence. What assurance. That's where he started from. Oh, my friends, that we might remember that. Don't start with where we are and our condition in life and so forth and so on. Start with heaven. Start with God. Start with what God has done for us. David's not alone in this. We could go read Paul's experience. Paul had so much confidence that he says, I'm persuaded. That word means inward certainty. Not just, well, I'm 49, 50. No, inward certainty. I am persuaded that nothing, and then he lists things, should be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We have evidence of God's love for us. Brother Seth mentioned it in his prayer. We need always to remember and start with our position in Christ Jesus. That we're in him. That we cannot be moved. We might push him away. But my friends, he cannot withdraw completely from us. Let me go read about that real quickly. If I can find it in Timothy's. We could quote at it, but I would imagine it's better if we try to read it. Well, I'll just try to quote at it. I can't find it right now. If we deny him, he'll deny us. If we do this, he'll do this. If we do this, we do this. He'll do that. And it gets to a point to where it finally says, but if we believe not, yet God abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. My friends, start with that. We know that David had cast all self-confidence away, my friends. And why we know that is we can read later in that 27 Psalms, 13th verse, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted if that had been the situation. But no, my friends, he did see the goodness of the Lord. We hope to get to that before we're over. But he did see that. And he did understand it. Saul was not trusting in himself. Psalmist David covers that again. Maybe we can find this one. Again, in the 20th Psalms, he says in the 7th verse, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Isaiah also says much of the same thing in the 31st chapter of Isaiah, I believe. And his words are this, when I can find it. Woe, 31:1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. You know what Egypt is almost always a picture of? Right, that's right. The world, the things of the world. There's a lot of power in Egypt. King Pharaoh and all the wealth. There's a lot of power there. But I know one more powerful than that. Can you imagine all the power that he had? All the chariots and all the things that were at his beck and command, that when the Lord got ready to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage, my friends, they actually spoiled Egypt as a victor. And they didn't do anything except put blood over their doorposts and so forth. And as a result, my friend, Pharaoh says, get him out. I can't deal with it. Just go. Now, his heart was hardened and so forth and so on. But when they delivered, my friend, they took whatever they wanted. They spoiled them. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Oh, my friends, there's no better place to go to. He's the one that's always been with you. He's the one, my friends, that did for you what you could not do or I could not do for ourselves. Let's move on. Here's the verse we often think of when we think of the 27th verse of Psalms, the one that's often quoted. I've quoted, Brother Jeb's quoted. I think he refers to this as his favorite verse in the Bible. He's not alone. Listen to what it says. And look at how he's focusing. So everything out, he's focusing on one thing. How do I know this? Because he says he is. For one thing, 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. And now, sitting upon that rock where he has been set, shall mine enemies be lifted. And now shall my head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Look how this first section begins. It begins with the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And look how it ends. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Sacrifices of joy, my friends. Where did he see that? When was it, my friends, that this happened? In times of trouble. Anybody know about times of trouble? Anybody been acquainted with it? If you're breathing air, you have been. In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome it. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me. Where? In the pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle. One thing have I desired. That will I seek after. Hope to get back to that in just a second. Now, He's completed His honor and praise and recognition of where He is positionally and what God has done for Him. He has not trusted in Himself. You know who He's trusted in? He's trusted in the Deliverer. Who's that? Who hath delivered us, doth deliver us, in whom we will trust, He will yet deliver. There's where you need to put your confidence, Sonny. There's where we need to trust. There's where we need to recognize. And when we do so, my friends, there is no fear. Why? Because perfect love casteth out fear. More could be said about that. I believe that David understood some things about God. And I think he understood things about himself. You know, one time when he was just thinking about self is when he went on the housetops to pray where he ought to be prayed. And he looked across the court of his kingdom there, of the Jerusalem, and he saw a woman bathing herself and desired her, my friends, and conceived with her. And because of that act, God, my friends, put His judgment down. First of all, He tells David, thy life shall not be required of thee. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be ramifications. And those ramifications was that the sword shall not depart from thine house. And you know what happened almost immediately afterwards? One of David's son forced himself on his sister, one of David's daughters, who happened to be Absalom's sister. And when Absalom heard about that, he didn't react immediately. He started working. That's a pattern about Absalom. He starts making his plan, and he starts working behind the scenes, and he works up and works up and works, and befriended his brother that had done this deed. But my friends, when it was done, he had his brother and participated in his brother's death. There's the sword that shall not depart from thy house. And again, Absalom even trying to take over David's kingdom. David knew what it was to trust in David, and David knew what it was to trust in the Lord. How about you and I? How many times have we trusted in ourselves? How'd that work out for you? How many times have we said, I'll do this? I remember a particular thing in Arkansas, and a particular, well, I'll just tell you, it was a house that we wanted, and I was determined to get it, and I got it. This thing came up against me. That thing came up against me. Guess what, Brother Tom? I worked my way right through that as though it wasn't there. And was kind of proud of that fact. I kind of boasted in myself a little bit and said, they're not going to get that by me. I'll do this and I'll do that. And I got the house. One of the worst financial decisions I ever made in my life. I learned. You know, when I came down here, first thing I had to worry about is where I was going to stay, right? 2005, came down here all of a sudden like. I'm telling you, in a month's time, my friends, we were here from the first time that I actually literally thought about that possibility. I mean, like that. I had no idea where I was going to stay. Sharon had to stay back with the house till we got sold. Not that house, but a better house. Before we got it sold. And I didn't know what to do. My son said, well, I know a person that has an apartment on top of their garage there. And most of the time, I don't think it's occupied. I talked to Bobby and Sue, and there I stayed. as long really as I wanted to, I guess. They didn't say anything about leaving. Just, I won't go into all of it, but I'm telling you, my friend, just things like that. Just, I didn't do a thing. Just seemed to walk. Boom, boom, boom. I lot rather the Lord be in the matter. I lot rather. And see evidence of that. That gives you comfort. You know what it casts out? Fear. Lord hadn't blessed you, church, to get this far and then forsake. Change is part of life. But I tell you, one who never changes, my friend, ought to be the center of life. And when we face unknowns, how is this going to work? I can't tell you, but I tell you it's going to be okay. Because the Lord's in the matter. Trust in the Lord. So now, having done that, David makes his petition. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. My friends, which one of those are important? I think all of them are. I think all of them are. First of all, O Lord, we ought to speak to the Lord like He is the Lord, because He is. He's not a buddy. You know, he's not a big granddaddy up in heaven. He's the Lord of lords. I can read Scripture to you where it says, He is in heaven, thou art upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. We don't need to have human fear, but we need reverential fear when we talk to our Lord. But He says, have mercy. Oh, how many times? How many times has that been our prayer? I can remember times in my life, and you can too. That's the only thing that could come out. I couldn't say any other words except, Lord, have mercy. I remember when Elisa was in the hospital, couldn't come home with us, and they didn't know why. Sharon was crying. I was crying. The only thing I could say is, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. I just said it over and over again. Have mercy. Guess what? He had mercy. And just in a few days, she was home. And hadn't shut her mouth since. She used to wear a little pajamas that said Chatterbox on the side of them all the way down. Whoa. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now look at the order of that. Look at the order of it. Seek my face. I remember Kings of Solomon one time. The queen experienced this. After she had gone to bed, she had washed her feet, she was laying in her bed, and the Lord appeared through the keyhole of the door. And she says, My feet have I washed, and she wouldn't come. And the Lord moved towards her with bowels of love, my friend. And she forgot about her comfort in the bed. And she forgot about her feet being clean. And she ran to the door, opened it up, and He wasn't there. When the Lord says, seek my face, the right response is, Lord, thy face will I seek. Not when it's convenient. Not when it's handy. One thing. How remember? One thing. One priority. One thing. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Going back, you see, thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Remember what Moses said? Lord, if you don't go with me, don't send me. Whoa, isn't that a good thing? Lord, if you're not going to go with me, please let me know that and I won't go. Don't want to do a thing without thy presence going with me. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know how they forsake you? All of them do. 100% of mother and fathers forsake their children, if their children are living when this happens, is in death. Some of you, Brother Scott, it's when you were very young. Some of you, Brother Tom, it's when you weren't so young, and they certainly weren't very young. But the common link between those things is in death. They forsake you. They have no other choice. But when mother and dad does that, guess what? Then the Lord will take me up. Then the Lord will embrace me. Sometimes, my friends, the fathers forsake their children, and it's not in death. It's by their own actions. Where you can't condone those actions. You can't follow after those actions. And you have to put a distance there. Oh, that's heart-rending. Been there. That's heart-rending, I know. And some of you have been blessed. Even though one I'm particularly thinking about, well, I'll just say it, Brother Mike Winchester, when he was taken away so quickly. Oh, look how those children, they never felt that forsaking in their life until the ultimate time when his life was taken. Pardon me if this is too private. Brother Mike's father, Brother Larry, he says, Brother Sonny, I need to lean on you. I said, well, maybe leaning on me will help me to shore up under this because I'm having trouble too. And we were at the viewing. Larry was sitting in the back. And I got back there and sat with him. And I looked up at the casket. And there those four children were comforting. They were in sorrow. But what they were remembering is the good times. You know what's happening? The Lord was taking them up. That's what was happening. And that's what has happened continually since then. And that's what happened to you and I, Brother Philip. Certainly look at Brother Phillips, Brother James, Sister Sarah's experience with Brother John. We could just go around. Let me go on. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemy. I've studied this for probably a month or more. And up until about 2 days ago, I had just run over that verse. Just run right over. But then I stopped. Teach me what? Thy way. Not my way. Teach me thy way. How are we going to do that? God's ways are above our ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. How in the world can we understand God's ways, especially in a plain path? This isn't the only time David mentions about the way. 25th Psalm, just two Psalms prior to this, it says this. And 25 and 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me, here's the secret. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. That's where you'll find the Lord's ways, my friends, is in his truth. It matters what you believe and I believe. Our belief won't take us to heaven, my friends. But I'll tell you, the truth will be like a lamp unto your footway. You know what happens when have you ever been in dark, really dark, stars gone, everything, and you're at night, and you walk with a light in your hand? I remember one time, probably, maybe, yeah, I guess the first time that Brother Ursel took me coon hunting in Arkansas. They rode, he had a coon dogs and so forth, and Lanny, my good friend, they went coon hunting ever since he was 7 or 6 years old. So I hadn't lived there long, and I remember Dad, when he lived in Arkansas, talked about it. Dad gave me one piece of advice that was really good. You know what he says? Son, take your own flashlight. Brother Ursel had a lantern that he used. But when you're third in line going single file through a woods, you don't see much light. I had my own little light. What's the point? It doesn't matter how much darkness might be around you. If you have light with you, you'll walk in the light, though everybody else is flipping around and tripping around in darkness. You'll have light with you. How important is that? Listen to what John says in 1 John. 1 John 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How plain can it be? But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, my friends, it's important to tread paths, from a church perspective especially, that the Lord himself tread. Why do we baptize like we do? Because that's what happened to the Lord and how he taught his disciples. Why do we have communion? Why do we wash feet? Because that's what the Lord said. Why do we pray as we pray? When you pray, pray on this wise, this manner. That's what the Lord has taught us. It can go on and on and on. Our singing is with gladness. Even when we're saying minor tunes and it's about things that the world would wonder, why in the world are they singing that? You want an example of that? I am a stranger here below, and what I am, 'tis hard to know. I am so prone, I am so whatever, and prone to sin. I fear that I am not born again. You know what the world would do when they hear that? What in the world are you doing? Oh, my friends, but to a person who knows the truth, it's food unto their soul, my friends, because they've been there. They've been there. Okay, I got 5 minutes to conclude this. Let's go back to the last part now. We've dealt with the part of the assurance and the confidence in the Lord. Then we dealt with the part where David actually makes his petition, not first, but after he has extolled praise to God. Now the 13th and the 14th verse. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe the land of the living is the church of God Almighty. I believe it goes right back to that one thing. That one thing that I desire of the Lord. I'll tell you, my friends, there is nothing on this earth that God has established upon this earth that is any more beautiful than the church when it's acting as it ought to act. Listen to it. Great 48 Psalms. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Where? In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the great city of our great king. God is known in her palaces. What? As a refuge, for a refuge. I tell you, there's nothing like her, my friends. Nothing. Nothing. And that we would be able, from time to time, to assemble ourselves together. And the Lord fills the temple with his train. When the Lord comes and seats down with us, we feel the Lord moving breast to breast. We feel His presence in the singing and in the praying and in the preaching. And our love for Him begins to grow more and more as we show our love one for another. I tell you, my friends, there's nothing like it. She is totally unique. Songs of Solomon said there's 3 4 queen, 4 4 score concubine. But my love, my dove, my undefiled, she is but one. She is the choice of the mother that bore her. I tell you, there's nothing like her. Nothing. But she's hid. She's hid from the world. She's hid from the thing. No one thinks about us in this world. They're going to start listing the top religions in the state of Texas. You think anybody lists Primitive Baptist? You think have you ever? Now, sometimes you will, but have you ever gone up to somebody and say, "I'm Primitive Baptist," and they say, "What's that?" Or can they explain it? You know what sometimes they say? Sometimes? What is it? Well, my grandmother or my grandfather was one. I had one man tell me, in fact, it was at Sacred Harp singing. I had one man tell me, "Well, I love the old Baptist as much as you do." I couldn't sit and let that one go. I said, "You do not." He looked at me and said, "What do you mean?" I said, "If you loved her as much as I am, you'd be a part of her." Amen. And he wasn't. And he isn't. I tell you, the mouth says one thing, feet says something else. Feet says something else. I remember I talked to a young man one time, coming back from a trip, just he and I, so he couldn't get away from me. We were just in there in the car. And he was talking to me, and he started talking about my church, my church, my church. I interrupted him. I called his name. I said, "What church are you talking about?" He looked at me like I was crazy. He says, "Well, Union." I says, "Hey, tell you this, bud, but it's not your church." "What do you mean?" "She hadn't been baptized." "What?" I said, "You hadn't been baptized. You can't call it your church if it's not. You can say you're a visitor. You can even say you love it. Don't call it my church and then rebel and stay out of it. Don't do that. It's your church, my friend, when it is your chief joy in this world to worship Him. One thing have I sought after. One thing. That will I seek after." I tell you, if all of us, and you all, the same preaching to the choir. You all know this. But let us continue to show by our actions that she is the chiefest thing in our lives. Now, having done all this, is there anything left for David to do? Having said all this, and again, I've butchered part of most of it, but is there anything left? Yes or no? Is there anything left? There is. The last verse. You know what the last verse says? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, that can be the hardest part. That can be the hardest part. Waiting. Having done what you need to do. You don't start off, you don't start this process by waiting. You start this process by petitioning the Lord and saying and declaring how great He is and what He's done for us and His great love He has for us. That He has all power in heaven and earth. None can stay His hand. That He's loved you with an everlasting love. Then we make our petition. And then we wait. Sonny's not too good on waiting. Brother Gary, I get so tired of learning the same lesson over and over and over again. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. You know, sometimes the answer is no. And that's okay. We don't need to be of the category they that have not because they ask not. Don't let that be your situation. You ask the Lord. You ask the Lord. And then let the Lord decide how that's going to work out. You ask the Lord and then wait. But I get so tired of waiting. Be of good courage. The Lord has strengthened your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I'm telling you, when the Lord begins to answer those prayers, and you see the Lord working in it, that you've been fearful of, you'll jump right into. That you think there's no way, you'll see the way, and it will just be, you'll just have rivers of rejoicing forever. That's happened in all of your lives. Where you could look back and say, hither has the Lord led me. To this place has the Lord led me. This place. I could start going around the congregation and calling out names. I won't, but I could call out names. Some of you have come to me praying for a companion and saying, I don't have one. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know what it's worse of not having a companion? Having the wrong one. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I don't know if I ought to do this or I ought to do that. And you want me to do what? You want me to make that decision for you? Promise me. You don't want me making those decisions. You go to one that knows more about it than you know. You go to one, my friends, that you've always been in his view. Even before eternity, my friends, he had you in mind. He had you in view. He's predestinated us according to his goodwill. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Please, church. Please, I beg you, make the 27th Psalm something you read at least once a month. Since I've been with you, I have seen this Lord, this church. The older ones, most, have passed on, are in nursing homes and can't come. That were very strong when I got here in 2005. You know what I've also seen? I've seen those my age, a little over, a little under, step up. Why? Because they were taught how to step up. And they did. And it was wondrous to behold. And we'd work together and we'd struggle together and we'd ask the Lord to lead us. But guess what? We're starting to get a little long in the tooth now. Even my fault, see? A little long in the teeth. But guess what? The Lord has blessed us. Now you just look around and see the people that are above 20 years old in this congregation. How many of them were raised right here in this church? Just look around. How many of them? Almost none of them. But you know what happened? The Lord sent them. And they're here. And they're ready. And if that wasn't enough, dummy me started complaining that there weren't any little ones in the congregation. And before too long, not only were there some, in fact, one particular situation, all at once there were some. And not that I ever would have anyway, but I got reminded, Brother Sonny, don't you dare complain about noise in the congregation. You asked for this. And my reply was, amen, I did. And we as a church waited. I'm telling you, my friends, the formula is as old as God. Wait on the Lord. May God bless you is our prayer. So we stand and sing some suitable hymn. I'm sorry. 27. Sorry I didn't get that first. 27. To stand and sing a song, those that are in the congregation that love.